Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hour 2, great to have you in. Tournament this weekend. Free agency. The Seahawks did re-sign Carlos Dunlap last night. Team still making moves. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy is from Pittsburgh, and so she understands Pittsburgh. And this story today that Art Rooney II said yesterday, we're bringing back Ben. That was always our goal. And it's interesting. We were just talking about nostalgia.
Right.
And I was thinking about this. And so the Saints and the Steelers were the two teams that had old quarterbacks about to retire, and the Saints have a plan, and the Steelers don't. And it wasn't like there wasn't... I mean, in 2018, you got a heads up. Ben led the NFL in picks. In 2019, he gets hurt. This year, he was bad at the end of the season. But nostalgia is really powerful. And when you get a quarterback that perfectly fits your city and your culture, it is hard to let go. Carson Wentz is a small town kid. He never felt like Philadelphia. Aaron Rodgers dates celebrities. He doesn't feel like Wisconsin. Jared Goff's a great kid, but he's so quiet and reserved. He never felt like LA. You know, I've said, does Russell Wilson feel like Seattle? But Ben feels like Pittsburgh. He looks like Pittsburgh. He's a little scruffy. He's a tough guy. He works hard. His off season is beers and a yoga class, and people celebrate it, and camping and hanging out with his family. And I do think when the quarterback fits, I mean, like I always felt Kobe felt like Los Angeles. Kobe was smart, and he was international, and he was into fashion, and he was in, I mean, Kobe felt I never lived in a city where the star athlete felt like the city. Eli Manning never felt like New York. He was Southern. He never felt. Jeter felt like the Yankees. Good looking, the lifelong bachelor. He was clutch. He was cool. Like Jeter felt like New York. Big Ben feels like Pittsburgh. And I think it's really, really hard to let that go. And, I mean, listen, the Steelers still have a great pass rush and great wide receivers, and but it does feel like they're sort of hanging on to a bygone era where you have the three teams in their division. Cleveland is ascending and has a great young core, and Cincy's ascending and has a great young core, and Baltimore's ascending and they have a great young core. Pittsburgh feels like the O-line's old, Ben is old, some of their schemes are old, but I think it's tough for them. I do think it's tough. I think Pittsburgh's in a situation where, and they've always been, as Joy said, you're from Pittsburgh. It's a very loyal city where if you are from Pittsburgh, I mean, Dave Wannstedt used to coach there, and, you know, he says he still goes to the same bars and has the same beers and cigars with the same friends. That's what Pittsburgh is, and Big Ben symbolizes that. And it's hard to let go.
They're also living a lot off of reputation and not reality. Like, it's a lot of loyalty, but it's also like, oh, Steelers are tough and run the ball and defense. And they're a good defense, but they definitely do not run the ball.
Yeah.
And it's become more of a finesse team.
Yes.
Overall, and that's not what the Steelers do. So they're having a bit of an identity crisis as well.
Well, there is no identity crisis in college basketball. There's 16 teams left. The Pac-12 has owned the tournament. Now, remember, Pac-12 games are on later, so people out east have, and I don't blame them, they just don't see the Pac-12 much. This weekend, you have like USC Oregon playing. You have teams that played in the season. It feels like a conference tournament to some degree. And Andy Enfield is now coaching his 8th year at USC. He made a great run when he was at Florida Gold Coast. Remember that? And now Gulf Coast. And now he's at USC. He is joining us live. You know, when I look at this, having lived out west most of my life, I know that when I lived out east, I didn't watch a lot of Pac-12 basketball or football because I go to bed. And when you look at the Pac-12 success, Andy, do you believe the conference was potentially just kind of overlooked by the committee?
Well, I agree with you. It is overlooked. I grew up in Pennsylvania, Colin, so similar to what you said, I never watched a USC or an Oregon basketball game growing up. I watched the ACC, Big East. I was asleep before the Pac-12 ever came on TV. So I do think the time change, the difference is a big detriment to just the exposure the Pac-12 gets on a national scale from not only the casual fan, but also the media. And the selection committee, I think, they probably underseeded some of the Pac-12 teams, as you see, for advancing to the Sweet 16. But we're just happy that the league is getting the proper exposure now. We're really happy for the other teams in the Sweet 16, as long as USC.
You know, it's interesting, Andy, you know this because of Florida Gulf Coast, is that it's weird in college basketball that sometimes chemistry, you got kids going to class, they're young, and stuff doesn't click until January. In Florida Gulf Coast, the same thing. You guys got red hot. I had watched you lose to Colorado about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Colorado shot the heck out of the basketball. And since that game, I mean, you destroyed Kansas. Kansas was red hot. It's like something happened to your team late. That's what it looks like to me in the times I've seen you. Is it a chemistry thing? Is it a rotation thing? Is it a health thing? Because it does feel like, Andy, you are playing your best basketball today.
Yeah, we're really proud of our players. They've improved throughout the season. We did lose a heartbreaker to Colorado at the buzzer, and we've won 5 out of 6 since then. So I think our team is playing very well defensively. We're top 5 in the nation defense, and now we're top 15 in the nation on offense. And so our metrics have improved the last couple weeks. So this is the time to do it. You need to be playing your best basketball because the teams you're playing in the NCAA tournament are terrific.
So Evan Mobley is your top NBA prospect, and you're known as a very, very active and energized recruiter. I don't know what he reminds me of. Is he the best talent potentially you've ever coached? And does he, because you coach with the Bucks and the Celtics, you've been in the pro league. What is his comp? What kind of player could he be?
Well, I think he's a hybrid between a lot of guys. Kevin Durant is the same size, but Kevin Durant grew up as a guard, so he had the perimeter skills. Evan has good ball handling skills and passing, but he's not the perimeter shooter, and he doesn't play like a guard. He plays like more of a forward/hybrid center. Anthony Davis had that great defensive characteristics at Kentucky, long shot blocking, so he has some of AD's defensive characteristics when he was in college. So he's kind of his own guy because he can put the ball on the floor. He's so unselfish. He makes the right play at the right time, and he's a terrific defender. So his upside is just terrific, and we're very excited for him because when you have a one-and-done player like Evan, the key is they have to help you win, and he is just a winner. That's one word I can say about it. He is just a flat-out winner.
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation with Rich Paul. Rich Paul is an agent, a very, very smart guy. And we were talking about this last night in the podcast. I said, you know, Rich, everybody thinks if a kid's a one-and-done guy, they should go to Europe or they should go to Australia or they should go to the G League. And I said, if my kid was a great player, I'd send him to college for a year because, first of all, I think he's going to get a good coach. Second of all, I like the college experience. You have to deal with other people. It's a real life experience. And I said, the other thing is, boy, March Madness is a great platform. I wouldn't know who Zion is. If he didn't go to Duke and bust up his shoe, I wouldn't know. You know, I'd be on the internet. And so when you go recruit these great players, and some parents want the G League, and some parents see LaMelo Ball, what is the sale for you on, hey, college is a good place to start?
Well, I think you brought up a great point. Zion Williamson, he improved his personal brand by playing at Duke, playing in the NCAA tournament. Everybody in the country knew who he was. If he would have gone to Europe or the G League, no one would have known who Zion really was. And the same you could say for Evan Mobley. Evan, first of all, has improved tremendously as a basketball player. It was important for him to learn the college game, adjust to the physicality, getting double teamed, and improving his offensive skills and learning how to play defense at a high level. So not only has he improved as a basketball player, he's part of March Madness now, and he's making a name for himself, our team, and he's part of something that he'll remember the rest of his life. So I agree with you. I think college, there's nothing like college basketball, and we're just so happy that Evan has succeeded and is on the way to great success in the future.
Look at his length, boy. When you watch these 19-year-old kids, it's so funny because, Andy, you were a great basketball player. In fact, I think you're the leading scorer in the history of John Hopkins, if I recall. And when you recruit these young players, we put a lot on these kids. You guys are in a bubble. You can't even leave your hotel space. How hard has it been? Has the bubble, last year we saw young teams in the NBA, Andy, did very well in the bubble. Old teams struggled. They missed their families, their wives, their kids. Young teams did well in the bubble. So now you're in the college bubble, and it's no day at the beach, man. You can't leave your hotel. How are your kids responding to it?
Well, they've sacrificed a lot. We're day 16 consecutively in a hotel. We look Las Vegas, right to Indianapolis, and this is day 16. So our players, luckily, we have tremendous young men on our team and our coaching staff. We all get along. We enjoy being around each other because it is overwhelming at times, the amount of time you spend, especially you're isolated. I can't even see my family. They're in a hotel across the street. I have no interaction at all with my wife and three children. And the players' parents are here as well. So I think they've adjusted to it, and it's better than being at home. That's what we tell them. I know you're sacrificing. It's tough, but you could be at home out of the tournament. So let's enjoy this every moment we're here. And by the game time, it'll be day 19 or 20 by the time we play in Oregon on Sunday night.
By the way, you're going to play a conference. It's just so interesting. You're going to play Oregon. All you Pac-12 schools are all still around this thing. Is Oregon a team? I mean, they're hot now too. Kansas was hot. You beat them. Oregon's hot now. What worries you about Oregon?
Oregon's a great offensive team. They're playing more five out now with forwards and guards. They do have a couple centers that they rotate in, but they're very dangerous. They spread the floor. They shoot the three. They great in transition. They play a lot of pressing defenses. They'll try to steal the ball. So they're a different type team, but the nice thing is we know how to play Oregon because we played them every year. And they're in our league. Now, I think the game over a month ago in Los Angeles, you can just throw that out. They've improved tremendously since that game, and so has our team. And Isaiah Mobley did not play in that game. So I think it's two really good teams playing their best basketball of the year. Unfortunately for the Pac-12, only one will go on. But we're both, I think, if you said, if you're in the Sweet 16, you, at that point, you don't care who you play. You're going to play a great team, and Oregon just happens to be our next opponent, and they're exceptional.
Andy Enfield, see him occasionally at my little workout club. Andy's in much better shape than I am. Coach, good luck to you, your family, and the Trojans.
Thank you.
Take care,
Colin.
By the way, breaking news. Oh, Lordy. The Dolphins are trading the number 3 overall pick to the 49ers. So Miami gets the 12th pick. That's San Francisco's. They get a third-round pick, and they get first-round picks next year and the next year from San Francisco. So now, it's interesting because San Francisco's in the NFC, Dolphins in the AFC. Teams, generally, when you make these blockbuster deals, you'd like it to be in somebody else's neighborhood. You don't want somebody coming back to burn you. This is a massive deal. So Adam Schefter says, Niners are holding on to Jimmy G. No plans to trade him. Oh, God, I love the NFL. So the Dolphins, who already had picks, they're sticking with Tua. They're going to get the 12 pick. You know, I mean, there is a chance they could get a quarterback at 12. My guess is they'll all be taken by then. So San Francisco's getting up to you're not trading up to that pick for an offensive lineman. So San Francisco's taking a quarterback. They're not. Sam Darnold remains sad and lonely in his apartment in New York. Nobody going after Sam Darnold. So you don't make this move unless you're going to get a quarterback. So San Francisco's drafting a quarterback.
It's very dramatic news.
God, I love. You know how many times we've had breaking news on the show?
I know. It's crazy. Just this offseason alone. This is a lot of repercussions, this trade.
All right. I mean, it's a lot of different things. Number one, Miami's going with Tua.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Number two, Jimmy G's last year in San Francisco. This is
it. Absolutely. I mean, this is ripple effects on other teams in the draft as well, who are trying to probably move up for that
spot.
Well,
and listen, I don't blame San Francisco. Like Jimmy G, I said it the other day, four times, Joy, he has started the season as a quarterback for a team. Three of the four, he couldn't get through September. Like, they're just done doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously capable of leading a team to the Super Bowl and playing well in that. But that high level matched with his inability to stay healthy brings him to a middle of the road quarterback. Like it balances out. You can't plan your future around a guy that you don't know is going to be available.
All right. I need to.
You need to process this? Yeah. I have to toss this around as well.
We have to process stuff. I mean, if you were at work and all of a sudden, something crazy happened, you just have to go back into the back room and sit there and.
Well, I think
can we smoke cigars in here? Do I need to process?
Yeah. We need a scotch to kind of settle this down.
All right. San Francisco's going after quarterback. So it's going to go Trevor Lawrence, probably Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I like Trey Lance, but I like them both. I know that all four aren't going to work. One of them's not going to work. But the thing is, I can make an argument for there's all of them move well. So that's football. So like all of them move well.
Well, if they're going to stick with Jimmy G and you take Trey Lance, he doesn't have to play right away.
Yeah. I like Trey Lance. All right. Whew, take a breath. God, America's good. America's good.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
For the first time in over 50 years, the NASCAR Cup Series is going dirt racing this weekend at Bristol. Hall of Famer Jeff Gordon, Clint Bowyer, and the rest of NASCAR on Fox crew will have you covered starting tomorrow on FS1, and then coverage of the race starts Sunday at 2 Eastern on Fox. And our friends at NASCAR even sent us jars of dirt from the track, Colin. Very cool. Can't wait to watch this weekend.
Let me tell you something. It's going to be dirty. That many cars in a dirt track, it's going to be a scene. Somebody bring a vacuum. Okay, breaking news. The Dolphins are trading their number 3 pick to the Niners. So Miami goes from 3 to 12, San Francisco 12 to 3. Dolphins also get a bunch of other picks. I am told just now, a source tells me that Miami is going to move back up to number 6 and trade with Philadelphia, who's got the 6th pick, and Philly goes back to 12. Now, they're going to give Philly a bunch of stuff to do that. So that tells you, if my source is right on that, so Miami goes from 3 to 12 and gets a ton of picks, that Miami is going to go back up to the number 6 spot with Philadelphia. Philadelphia now is going to get some picks and move back to the 12 spot. So Philadelphia basically saying, we're going to give Jalen Hurts the season. We don't need a quarterback. We'll take more picks. So Miami tendered the deal with San Francisco. So Miami had that number 3 pick. They've been saying all along, we're staying with Tua. That's what we're doing. Miami said, we're staying with Tua. What they wanted to find is the right trade partner. So Denver was interested in that Miami pick. San Francisco was obviously interested in that number 3 pick. I bet you a lot of teams were interested in that number 3 pick. Carolina was probably interested, but San Francisco gave them a 3rd-round pick this year and 2 firsts. So that's a lot. So I'll tell you, say this for Brian Flores. He has accumulated a lot of draft picks, and they drafted pretty well so far.
Can we give Bill O'Brien like an honorary worst GM of all time award? They turned that Laremy Tunsil trade into 4 first-round picks and a 3rd-round pick now.
Oh, my gosh.
And well, then I turned it into another quarterback.
So if you're just tuning in, it makes sense. We've had 7 separate leaks on Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. So when stories are out, San Francisco is putting stories out because they want everybody in the league to know we're ready to play ball and make a deal. So when teams leak stuff out, they want it leaked out for a reason. If the Niners didn't want that Garoppolo stuff leaked out, it wouldn't get leaked out. You want it out there so you can tell all the teams, we're going to be calling. We're going to be making deals. Call us or we'll call you. So they aggressively went after it. Now, they're not going to move Garoppolo initially, but there was a story today. New England still interested kicking the tires on Garoppolo. I think what they want to do, and I think Joy and I talked about this, I thought it would be Sam Darnold. What I think they want to do, San Francisco had to sign that Trent Williams deal. And Armstead's going to make a ton. And Kittle's deal's about to explode. If you start, and they just, Kittle's contract's big. They just gave their fullback, their Pro Bowl fullback, a ton of money. So if you start looking at San Francisco, the Bosa deal is going to be big. If you start looking at San Francisco, we theorized this about 4 or 5 days ago. They got a lot of big contracts to star players. They got to get cheap at quarterback. Because then it's like Baker. When you're not paying your quarterback, you're like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's only a $9 million cap hit. That's why Tampa can, you know, the average quarterback that's good is a $30 million cap hit. Tom Brady's $20 million less than that. You can sign Fournette and Ndamukong Suh. You can sign the Gronk again. You can sign Donovan Smith. And so San Francisco's got these great players. They're all great players. Bosa, Trent Williams, Kittle. These are great players. The bedrock of the foundation. They got to get cheap at quarterback. So San Francisco's like, hey, we're going to give up some first-round picks. We got the stars. What we need is a really talented quarterback that stays healthy, and we get 4 years of his small contract. So we theorized last week they needed to get, I think we said it last week, it was a lead in the show. They need to get cheaper at quarterback. That's what they're doing. And so what they'll do is, my guess is, they'll bring a college kid in. Kyle Shanahan's system is very complex, but it's very favorable for quarterbacks. I mean, but Matt Ryan was an MVP with it. Matt Schaub was a Pro Bowler with it. Everything works. I mean, Garoppolo got to a Super Bowl with it. So will they trade him at the deadline after 8 weeks, or will they just keep him for a year and roll with it? But there you go. And I am told the Dolphins have moved back to 12, but they are discussing right now moving back up to 6 and trading it with Philadelphia. So that tells me what? It tells me Miami may not get a quarterback, but they have an offensive lineman they love. That's what it tells me. So with Tua, they went and got Will Fuller. So we see the Will Fuller move. We know they drafted Austin Jackson on the O-line next year. They probably have an offensive lineman or a receiver they don't want to miss out on, and they think at 12, there's about two or three great O-linemen. They all may be done by 12. Miami needs an offensive lineman. That's probably why they want to move back up. And now they have so many picks accumulated, thanks to Bill O'Brien and this trade. They can trade a deal. And Philadelphia, by the way, does need to rebuild, because Philadelphia's got an aging offensive line that's always hurt. They have not hit on their draft picks at skill positions. So Philadelphia could use, if you're a Philadelphia fan and you get multiple picks, go for it. You move 6 to 12, what do you care? You're going with Jalen Hurts this year anyway. You want to get more picks. 99% of the teams in the NFL, I mean, Jacksonville's an exception. They need a quarterback, and there's a great one available. Most of these top picks, you're better off trading down anyway and getting most teams that draft in the first five are bad teams that can't be saved by one player. Philadelphia needs more draft picks. They don't need a quarterback at this moment, and they're not going to get one. They're not going to get one of the best three, certainly, and probably not one of the best four. All right, Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Chaos. Anarchy.
The best.
It's so fun. Well, you were just discussing it. The Patriots brought back Cam Newton for a second season, but their pursuit of a quarterback is not over, according to Diana Russini. They don't think that Cam is the future of the Patriots. They still need him to prove he can play at an elite level, and they are reportedly still looking into a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. I actually don't know what the point of that is for the Patriots, other than Bill Belichick trying to prove that he was right all along about Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo is never healthy. So that's why this trade is going on with the Dolphins.
And Garoppolo and Cam play two different games.
Right. So what, I mean, I guess there's some value to Jimmy already being familiar there, but to make a trade for him, I don't know what I guess it would depend on what you were giving up for Jimmy Garoppolo, but I don't know that is a move that the Patriots need to be aggressive on at this point.
Well, and by the way, Jimmy is not cheap now, so Jimmy's contract is pretty big. I think he makes like $26, $27 million. So, you know, and a Cam's deal is built, so if he doesn't play, he doesn't make much.
Right.
But, I don't think this is the long-term answer. Hell, he got hurt in New England. They shipped him to San Francisco. He got hurt in San Francisco. I don't think it's a long-term answer. Yeah, I was going to talk about this story today because it was thrown to me by the team. Like, hey, and I just thought, is that really the answer?
I don't think it's the answer. And I think that Jimmy is a good player, but he's never available. That's the whole reason why this trade just happened with the Dolphins and the Niners. He is not reliable, and availability is a skill. It doesn't matter how talented you are. If your talent is sitting on the sideline because you're injured, you can't contribute. And at that position, you can't, that's just not a position where that's available. Like, that is the key to your entire organization. And if you're not there, that's why I think it's so strange that this is still a conversation with New England. Like, how does that solve your problems?
It doesn't.
So, speaking of the Eagles brought in Joe Flacco on a one-year deal with the expectation that he will be Jalen Hurts' backup. Flacco said that while he will help Hurts in his second year in the league, his main goal is to prove that he can still play.
Your goal as a football player is always to show people, you know, around you that you can play football. And I don't care what level of playing that is, whether you're the first string, second string, third string guy on the team. My job is to prove to these guys that, you know, I deserve some respect and I can play this game at a high level. And that's really what I mean by being competitive and competing, is just showing guys that, you know, I know how to do this, and I'm going to show you that I know how to do this.
I don't know that that's what I wanted to hear out of Joe Flacco. I understand that this is a competitive space, right? Nobody goes to work in the NFL and is like, I'm just excited to be the backup.
Of course.
Even Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was the ultimate company guy when it came to the situation with Tua, still said he wasn't happy in that situation. But he also fully committed to being there for Tua and building him up and developing him and playing the role that he was supposed to play on that team. Joe Flacco hasn't played a full season since 2017 when he went 9-7. He was 0-4 last year, had a 55.2 completion percentage, 864 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Jalen Hurts has better numbers than that. Slightly lower completion percentage, more yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and 272 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, and went 1-3.
Boom, boom, boom.
What happened?
Boom.
What happened?
I just broke the story. The Eagles just announced they are trading the number 6 overall pick to the Dolphins for the number 12 pick overall. Uncle Colin did it. So it happened.
You love this. Okay, well, wow. All right. So, yeah, so that means that the Eagles are going to run it with Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco if they're moving down out of that spot.
So that's what I was told, and that's okay.
Well, I'll do my last
it
story.
Only
while
took,
you
it only took
why,
2 minutes.
Two minutes to do that. Well, that's obviously what the whole move was for. Like, the Dolphins obviously made that move with San Francisco with the knowledge that they were going to be able to then move up to get the 6th pick from the Eagles. I'm still not convinced that they're sticking with Tua, if that's what they're doing. You don't feel like you can get with all the quarterbacks that need to go in this draft. You don't feel like the Dolphins can get a great offensive lineman at 12. I still think that they might take a quarterback at 6.
So is this official? This just came down officially. Boom. Oh, that came from the Eagles.
That's pretty official.
Folks, this show is your source for NFL scoops. We break the Tom Brady to Tampa story. Yep, so here we go. So is this the draft order now? Jags, Jets, 49ers, Falcons, Bengals. Nice job by our staff. Dolphins, 6, Lions, Panthers, Broncos, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. Boom. By the way, Philadelphia fans.
We can be done with Joy with the news.
Are we done with Herdline News?
Yeah,
all right, Joy and I are just talking.
We can skip our last story.
Well, that's the news.
Thanks for stopping by.
So,
Herdline News.
So everybody's going to freak out in Philadelphia, but my takeaway with Philadelphia is you need players. You don't give a rip about the 6th pick. You're rebuilding. You just don't want to admit it. So
what's there to flip out about?
Well, in Philadelphia, people are freaking out. They're like, if Howie Roseman trades back, I would have traded back. Philadelphia, by the way, Philadelphia got a 2022 first-round pick.
You're just going to keep drafting quarterbacks every single year?
So the Eagles now have 2 first-round picks next year.
That's what I'm telling the Dolphins to do, but...
Boom. So in the end, what the Dolphins really did, they got a first-round pick, a third-round pick, to go from the 3rd to the 6th. So Miami did a very good – listen, my first takeaway is obvious. San Francisco's – they got to get cheap and more dependable physically at quarterback. Number 2 is the Dolphins did a great job to use that Laremy Tunsil stuff, and they have done a very good job the last 2 years, the Miami Dolphins have, to manipulate the draft. The draft manipulates a lot of people. The Dolphins are manipulating the draft. They are just working it. And Philadelphia, which I believe should give Jalen Hurts the season, is now saying, we're not going to get one of the quarterbacks we like. Philadelphia probably does love Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. They're not going to get him.
Right.
So their takeaway is, okay, let's move back and get two first rounders next year and start rebuilding this process. This is very exciting. Okay, Schefter just tweeted, Jimmy is here to stay. He is our guy per a 49ers source. Yeah, right. Yeah, for today. Yeah, I mean, today.
Well, because if they're going to take a quarterback at number three and you're not getting Trevor Lawrence.
So you're
going to. And you're going. So he's going to need it. Well, right. Not need a year. I really feel like if you take a rookie quarterback, you should play him right away. But if you have Jimmy Garoppolo and you're paying him anyway.
Well, and Shanahan's system is complex. It is. Like Matt Ryan's first year with it. Matty's been in the league. Matt's first year with it. It's hard.
We'll say they love Trey Lance. He didn't play last year. Yeah. You know? So this is a perfect situation.
Very exciting. Okay, Albert Breer's around the corner.
Yeah, we need him.
I'm exhausted from breaking so many stories.
I'm just excited that you had a new phone that had charge on it so you could do the scoop.
That's the good. My old phone would have been out of charge. I couldn't have broken a story. All right, Breer breaks a lot more than I do. He's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app. Or wherever you get your podcast.
Jersey Mike's Month of Giving, raising charity and raising money for over 200 charities across America. Go to your local Jersey Mike's store or just go to jerseymikes.com. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Albert Breer, late notice, Monday morning quarterback, is now joining us live. What a chaotic, fun last half hour. So the Dolphins trade, they go from, their spot was San Francisco. They trade back.
Yep.
And then they trade back up. So let's do this from the Miami perspective. So Miami's got that three pick. They move down basically saying, hey, we're going to stick with Tua. We're not going to get one of the top three quarterbacks. That's what it tells me. Then they move back up to six. And you know what that tells me, Albert? They either have a receiver or an offensive lineman they like. That am I wrong on that?
Yeah. And the beauty of it to me and the genius of it is that by making the two trades, the first half of it, ensures that another position player is going to fall to them, right? Because now you've locked in that the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks, maybe the top four.
Yeah.
That necessarily means maybe a Jamar Chase, maybe a Penei Sewell. One of those sorts of guys, a Kyle Pitts, is going to fall into your lap at number six, and you're going to be able to get Tua some help. And so not only did you get all the capital that you got back for the number three pick, you're also able to get back up to number six and force the process in a way where the quarterbacks are going to go at the top and a position player that you like is going to fall in your lap.
Okay, now let's go to the San Francisco perspective. Mm-hmm. We know this well. When I keep hearing leaks from a team, a lot of times that team wants stuff out there to awaken the market to we're ready to make a move. Yep. So I'm not shocked San Francisco made a move. I thought Sam Darnold was a possibility, but I'll throw this at you. When they made that Trent Williams deal, Albert, and I started looking at the Armstead deal and the Trent Williams and Kittle and then Bosa and then the fullback, and I thought to myself, boy, they got to get cheap at quarterback. They got to get a rookie quarterback. So the Trent Williams deal felt like, I think we said it on the air, it's like they can't pay $28 million for a quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, they probably could this year. It'll start to catch up with them as some of those numbers rise. I mean, you don't know, too. They've got some young players they like, Nick Bosa, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, that maybe they have to pay eventually, too. You know, and so their core is going to get expensive. And I think what the deal up for San Francisco is an acknowledgement, like, we're ready to take our big swing because we really don't need premium players anymore. We've got our core in place. We're going to be putting role players on our roster from here on out. And we really like the quarterback class. So let's go up and take our swing now. And I've told you this from the start, Colin. They were not moving off of Jimmy Garoppolo unless there was a clear upgrade out there for them. And, you know, I think over the last few weeks, they probably looked at Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Zach Wilson and said, you know what? These three guys, these three guys are a clear upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo. And so, you know, you combine the financial part of it, which, you know, like you said, there's going to be benefit to having a cheaper quarterback on the roster so they can keep their core intact. And then sort of what they thought about the young quarterback class, you add one to the other and it's okay. The clear upgrade is here for us for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's going to help us keep our team together. Makes all the sense in the world, especially because we're not going to need those first round picks down the line to add more star players. We can focus more on putting role players around what we already have.
By the way, Albert, Arizona was aggressive. The Rams were aggressive. The Seahawks aggressive. Yeah. I mean, it feels like SEC football. Like, you just have to keep up, right? Like, San Francisco's got to keep up.
Yeah, here's an amazing fact, Colin. The Arizona Cardinals are the only team in the NFC West that currently has a 2022 first-round pick. The Seahawks traded theirs for Jamal Adams. The Niners have traded theirs in this deal. And, of course, the Rams traded theirs as part of the deal for Matthew Stafford. And so there's no question. You look at it, there's a big-time arms race going on. And I think the Rams sort of have set the tone for this for a few years now, the aggression with which they built their roster. San Francisco's in the Super Bowl a year ago. They, on paper, at least should be a lot healthier than they were last year. I think some people in Arizona are going to be fighting for their jobs in the fall. And, of course, you know, the Seahawks, you have the urgency that's been placed on the organization by Russell Wilson. There's no question. I mean, there's, I guess, tension would be the right word, right, in the NFC West right now. It seems like there's a lot of tension in the NFC West to try and win in 2021.
Yeah, it's amazing. Cincinnati's history is they don't make deals. And it's like, okay, well, Miami does and San Francisco does and the Rams do. And it's this new world of young GMs. They are, you got a lot of movers and shakers. Now, we talked about San Francisco, Miami. Let's go to the Philadelphia perspective. What this tells me moving out of the 6 to the 12 is, listen, we got a lot of needs and we're going to stick with Jalen Hurts for a year. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, and add into that the fact that they built a layer of depth on their roster by adding Joe Flacco this week. I really look at, you know, where they are, and I think there is an acknowledgement there. We have some work to do in building the roster up. Now, they very much looked at this quarterback class. I mean, don't get that part of it mixed up. Their offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach were at North Dakota State. They were at Alabama to watch Mac Jones. And they're also there at BYU today to go and watch Zach Wilson. And so they very much kicked the tires on this year's quarterback class. I think there's an acknowledgement that they have to turn the page in that organization. The roster got old and it got expensive in a hurry. Sort of the same way New England's roster got old and expensive over the last couple of years because of some of the cap ramifications of the last couple of years. They're going to be taking some of that on in 2021. They've obviously had to make some moves to get under the cap to begin with. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's part of this. It's like, let's go take a look at Jalen Hurts, what we have. We already sunk a year into him. But I also think there's, you know, an acknowledgement that they need a lot more than just a young quarterback. And by the way, Colin, you look at the roster right now, might not be the healthiest situation for a young quarterback to enter into anyway. Yeah. So they'll get their evaluation of Jalen Hurts in 2021. Then, of course, they've got some firepower now in 2022 if they want to make a move up for a quarterback or if they have a very high pick to begin with next April.
Boy, this just blew up everybody's mock draft.
Yeah, it did mine.
By the way, we got a minute left, just a minute left. Garoppolo Niners rumors. You make anything of it today?
I think look, you never say never, right? I think the Niners' plan is to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo. But if they get an offer that blows them away, if they're able to get back maybe, you know, what they gave up for Garoppolo in the first place, would they do that? Yeah, I mean, I think they would think about that. Now, ideally, I think they'd rather go forward with Jimmy Garoppolo as their starting quarterback, if there isn't that sort of offer out there. Because remember this, Colin, when they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo in 2017, right? Do you remember what they did?
No.
They sat him for a month. They sat him for a full month because Kyle Shanahan didn't want to roll Jimmy Garoppolo out there before he knew his offense. So would he be willing to do that with a rookie? Would he be willing to kind of stake a championship team to a rookie? Like evidence tells us, having seen how he handled Jimmy Garoppolo, that he might not want to do that. And so I think absent like a really good return, I can see why they would, you know, might look at it and say, let's hang on to Jimmy Garoppolo for a year. And if he plays really well, you know what? Now his value is enhanced and we can move him for something good in 2022.
Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Good stuff today. Wow. That's funny. You just released your mock draft, so you got to go back.
Yeah, I'm back to the drawing board.
I think I'm going to do one to start next hour. Good stuff, Albert. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. They have 1,000 dealers, over 1,000 dealers nationwide. Hustler Turf. Visit HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com. They know their mowers. You know what I want to do? What I want to do, guys, back in the control room, I want to start next hour. I want to do my mock draft, my first 12 picks. We're just going to do a mock draft. So let's clean up a board next top of next hour. So we got all this movement around. Let's just do it. Now let's do another mock draft. That's why you can't do mock drafts.
They might not be up. Done.
Oh, I don't think it is done. So I'm going to do, to start next out, we're just going to roll through it, Joy. We're just going to pick. We're going to talk our way through.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So you guys in the back, the graphics department, the video department, just get a big clean slate of the top 12 picks, and you can just type them in. You just type them in as we go.
But I think it's more complicated than that.
I'm going to do a live mock draft.
Here we go, guys.
I'm producing the show. I'm doing graphics, designing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So listen, I will say this. I'll have the most accurate mock draft in America for like 10 minutes because everybody else has got blown up.
Yep.
So I will have America's closest mock draft right around the corner, hour three.